Welcome in, Monday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you have had fabulous weekends. We are ready to make sense of the world for all of you. A lot to discuss. CNN has a poll out that shows Trump up 6, 49 to 43. When you put in multiple candidates, he's up 9 on Joe Biden, the largest lead that Trump has ever had in any poll. CBS News has Trump up in Pennsylvania and also up in Wisconsin, down a small amount in Michigan. If Trump wins one of those three battleground states and wins where he is up in Arizona and Georgia, he would be president. But the gambling markets, which I enjoy watching, still have Biden as a small favorite, and they swung substantially recently. What's going on there? We'll dive into it. Buck has broken out his puppy to start off the show here in a desperate effort to win favor. Maybe also not going to add our ratings in Christy Noem's department there, which we're going to have to talk about the dog shooting that has potentially knocked her out of vice presidential running. I mean, this is a crazy, I can't believe this is a real story. We'll talk about that. Buck, Ginger, not a fan, fair to say, of Christy Noem.
Was not going to vote for her anyway, but yeah, definitely not a fan now.
We'll talk about that. But I wanted to start with this, Buck. I went to George Washington University. It is a school just down the street from the White House, about 8 blocks away. I went there undergrad. They gave me a scholarship. I went up there. I loved being in D.C. Buck, you lived in D.C. It's a great town. This is, to me, a huge story. And I want to extend an invite to the president of George Washington University. I believe her name is Ellen Granberg. Reports out there, Fox News led its last hour of programming with it. I think this is a really big deal. George Washington's central campus quad has been taken over by pro-Palestinian, if you want to phrase it as that, anti-Israel protesters. They have all the tents, everything else similar to what's going on at Columbia, at NYU, at UCLA, at USC, many different places out there. But what's different is, and I believe you guys in the studio can correct me if I'm wrong because you guys are in New York City, I believe we have a new deadline that has been extended to the Columbia protesters. It's like you're negotiating with terrorists. They have to leave the campus by 2 p.m. Eastern time. Have you seen this? I think this is the latest deadline.
But the thing about this is that the or else in these situations, and this is definitely a problem as it stands right now for Democrats. Look, it's almost May, so we're getting into the summer months pretty quickly for the election, and that means that the time, you know, the timetable is collapsing pretty quickly. If this continues, though, and I think it will, certainly through graduations, which are now some of them being canceled, what are they going to do about this? What are the Democrats? What are police forces, police commissioners, mayors of Democrat cities? There's also a situation, Clay, where the red states are, if they have this problem in one of their blue Democrat cities, handling it, I think, far more adeptly than the blue states are, because the statewide politics are different. The yes. state house has a different view of it. That has clearly been the case in Florida. It's been the case in Texas as well. And here's the thing. They want exactly what is being threatened. I was there at the Occupy Wall Street protest. Not only at the protest, I was there the night that they broke up Zuccotti Park, and they sent in the NYPD, and they were, you know, pepper spraying and kettling. Kettling is a process where they kind of rope off a whole group of people and then they swoop in and make a whole bunch of arrests. They did this, and the whole point of it is that they get the video footage. They get the, why are you arresting me? You know, they're screaming. It's like, you're being arrested because you were told 100 times if you don't leave, you're going to be arrested. And ultimately, this is where it crosses over into civil disobedience. This is not a protest, really. When you're trespassing, you've gone beyond protest. If someone said, someone showed up at your house, Clay, and they decided they were going to just camp on your front lawn, and say, I'm just protesting, you'd say, no, you're trespassing. You're actually not allowed to be here. And that's where the crossover is. These are all on private property. Zuccotti Park was actually private property as well, which didn't get enough attention, but nobody wanted to be the one to say the cops are going in. So by breaking it up, Clay, they give them the footage they want. They're not going to prosecute them after breaking it up. What stops these students from coming back in? The discipline has to come from the universities. The universities don't want to do it.
Okay, so here's the interesting part. You're right. Credit to Brian Kemp, Ron DeSantis, and the governors of many red states. A lot of these red states don't even have these protests springing up where people are taking over the university. But to me, and Texas governor has done a fabulous job as well. But to me, what is super interesting about the GW situation is there are reports that the president of George Washington University, again, Ellen Granberg, and I extend further an offer. I would imagine we have some people from GW who are listening, grads, administrators, whatnot. I would bet you're undercover potentially if you're listening to this show, but I would bet that there are some listening. She reportedly requested for the Washington, D.C. police to clear the protesters, and the D.C. police are refusing to do so. This, to me, is a different level, because if you are asking, hey, these protesters are trespassing, they don't have the right, they're creating difficulties on campus, we need them cleared, and the D.C. police are refusing to do so, this takes it to the next level. Because, remember, Republicans control the House, and they oversee much of the D.C. government. So you already have a situation where crime is out of control in Washington, D.C., but I have not seen reported yet the idea that a police force would not comply with a university request. Remember, Columbia, the NYPD has come in. Now, they came back after, to your point, they arrested a bunch of these people. They brought back tents. They created a larger encampment. But the New York Police Department didn't refuse Columbia's request to come in. At Emory University, the Atlanta police and the Georgia State Troopers didn't refuse the request to come in. This is a different level. Greg Abbott at the University of Texas Austin, the governor of Texas, he went in and got that area cleared too. We know what Ron DeSantis has done at Florida State and at Florida with things that are going on there. To my knowledge, we have not seen a police force refuse to comply with the request of a university to enforce the law and clear the area. And let me say this, Buck. Guys, look this up for me again, because the numbers have changed. GW has one of the largest Jewish populations of any university in the country.
A lot of my Jewish friends from New York went to GW, actually. So this has been the case for a long time.
I was there. One of my roommates was Jewish. I felt like everybody when I was there was Jewish. I mean, we're talking about 20, 30, 40% of the overall
population. Probably not a lot of Tennessee guys there. Just throw that out there.
I was like the only Tennessee guy at all of GW, it felt like. There weren't very many Southerners, period. I don't know what the enrollment looks like 20 years later. But it is, I think, emblematic of how this woke virus has spread, that we're not talking about a university that is without a large Jewish population. The idea that 20 years after I was there, you could have Palestinian anti-Israel protesters take over one of the largest Jewish population universities in the country is staggering. And the fact that the police won't do anything about it
is also
crazy.
Every one of these schools, by the way, has a large Jewish contingent. And when you're talking about the Ivy League and the Northeast, they all have substantial Jewish populations. So that's, I think GW may be even higher, but I'm just saying they all have these large Jewish student populations. And they have, you know, Hillel House and different affinity and campus groups and things to give some sense of how many students there are on campus who are Jewish. There's also a lot of Muslim students, Arab and other nationalities represented. But what we see, and this reminds me of what I said in over the weekend, is that the entire campus, from the professors and the administrators on down, have embraced. We talk about it, Clay, in the context of wokeness. It's really anti-whiteness. And anti-whiteness is a concept that people are understanding, seeing more clearly now than they have before. The Supreme Court obviously saying that you can't use race in college admissions. They're still all doing it. Can I just note? They're all defying the Supreme Court. And the schools that got rid of the SAT to get around it are now finding, well, now we have no idea what kind of skill level we're letting in here in terms of students, academic skill level. So they're bringing it back. I think Columbia is actually one of them. I think Columbia got rid of the SAT and is now bringing it back.
All of the schools have brought it back in the Ivy League because they found that it was, because they were admitting kids who were disasters.
Yeah, because, I mean, as people have seen famously, some kid got into Yale and all these Ivy League schools just by writing Black Lives Matter 100 times on his application essay. That seriously happened. I mean, these are, that gives you a sense of how much these are temples of leftist lunacy. But my point here, Clay, is the administration, the faculty take this anti-whiteness. And there, if you really get into this with the left wing lexicon, the way they approach this, they'll say that, you know, that whiteness, they'll say, well, what is, you know, whiteness? And they have all these conversations around it where it's almost a belief system and not a skin color, because there are a lot of, so you sort of subscribe to white ideology, and this is confusing and contradictory because it is. I just want to be clear. It's not, this doesn't make sense, but just because somebody believes something doesn't mean it has to make sense. So they have all this anti-whiteness on campus, and we need to, you know, confront white supremacy and the history of all this stuff. And there was just one moment. There was a protester over the weekend. Where was this, guys? I forget. I was the one who sent in this clip.
Emery, is this the guy getting, I think, well, there's multiple viral protesters who got arrested. One was Emery that I saw, which was amazing, but this may be different.
This is the one where the woman says, we don't want white people here.
Oh,
you didn't
UCLA.
See
it.
Yeah, this is three. This is three. Play cut three.
Okay. You're just a white person. Get out. We don't like white people. Free Palestine.
You're a white person. We don't like white people. Get out of here, white person. Free Palestine. This is a summary of what we've been telling you the whole time. This is why people who know nothing about the Middle East, nothing. And we could spend a whole time. I spent years of my life, over a decade of my life, just steeped in the Middle East. They know nothing, but they know that they're supposed to not like white people. They know they think that Israel and Jews are all white. And that is how, in case you can't see it at home, and I'm just basing it on the skin color of the speaker, the woman who's saying we don't like white people, get out of here, free Palestine, is white. So this is this sort of. This brings you full circle. That's where things are now. You're not welcome here, white person. According to the white person, this campus stuff is actually much closer to BLM than people realize. It is American race politics playing out through the prism of a Mideast land and religious conflict stretching back for a very long time.
28% of the student body at GW is Jewish, for the percentages out there.
That's higher than I actually even thought, to be honest with you. That's
28%, 3,000 undergrad students. And it's one of the largest Jewish populations out there. It says BU, NYU, Tulane, and GW are the four highest private school with Jewish population. So one of the highest per capita.
2% nationally. So for a school to be almost 30% Jewish is about 15x the general population.
So contemplate that in the context of what that is like for students on that campus to have, if it's 30% Jewish, the campus being taken over by anti-Israel protesters is impactful at a school like GW on a level that's different than almost anywhere else, and the police are refusing to clean it out. I mean, if you're Jewish, you can't even walk through the quad without people chanting that Israel is committing genocide.
I got to tell you, I think that I understand at some level where the cops are coming from on this, because, yeah, no, they should. It's a rule of law issue. They should deal with this, but I can understand their mentality, which is, does anyone think that Muriel Bowser's administration in D.C., is going to back the cops up if some woman is caught on camera, you know, screaming, and they all flail about? And it's like the cops have been telling you they're going to do this.
I'll go even further. I think it's the mayor's office telling the police not to do it.
Well, that's very, I think these are related situations.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if they actually cleared it out, and there were a couple of videos of protesters face planting these commies in the quad, the cops, they'd get left high and dry. So in a sense, the mayor, I kind of see how all this plays together. It's lawlessness, but when you see the politics behind it, but don't worry, everybody, you're all going to be safer because they're planning to lock Trump up for business records that never actually went public.
Yeah.
They're all about that law and order, which is pretty amazing, isn't it? We'll dive into this some more. It's crazy what's going on out there. You know, with Mother's Day just a couple of weeks away, let me highlight an organization that cares deeply for moms and wants there to be more and more moms out there. Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics exists exclusively to offer love, life, and support to pregnant women who are feeling scared and alone and being pressured to make that ultimate and just so important choice for them and their lives going forward, and of course, their unborn child. When a mother in distress comes to a preborn clinic, she is welcomed with open arms and is offered a free ultrasound to hear and see the precious life inside her. Once mom has that moment of connection, that divine connection between mother and child, that is so often the difference maker and pushes her toward the choice of life. This Mother's Day, you can help bring life to both a mother in need and an at-risk baby. An ultrasound is only $28. Every penny you can donate to this nonprofit organization, Preborn, goes toward their mission of helping mothers make the right decision, the decision to give life to the tiny baby growing inside them. When you become a monthly sponsor, you'll receive pictures and stories of lives you help to save. Use your cell phone, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, say baby, or visit preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK. Sponsored by Preborn.
Stay on top of election news with 24 from Clay and Buck, a weekly podcast you can find on the free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD. We're so fortunate to have a military that's 100% volunteer. Men and women who voluntarily put their lives on the line for us. But when their service ends, transition to civilian life can be difficult, especially in this economy. Access to housing, employment, and even their earned VA benefits can be difficult.
That's why Pure Talk, my wireless company, proudly supports America's Warrior Partnership and their mission to prevent veteran suicide by providing fundamental needs to our warriors. You can help this great cause simply by switching your cell phone service to Pure Talk before the end of the month.
Upgrade your cell phone service to America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month.
Go to puretalk.com/buck to make the switch. That's puretalk.com/buck for superior cell phone service that's half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, and to help a vet in need.
The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Welcome back in. Clay and Buck here. 800-282-2882 on those phone lines. We're talking about these crazy protests and what is going on with them. We've also got a brief pause here in the madness in New York City pertaining to Trump's trial, which is still going on. I don't know if you saw, Clay. There was a NYU professor who's a former assistant district attorney in New York who wrote an op-ed today about how important the New York trial is, and it's laughable. It's you look at people, you're like, this is a litmus test. You are a fraud or an imbecile if you say that what's going on in New York City as a function of law and justice is anything other than an abject just lawfare campaign. And we'll dive back into these protests here in a second and tell us what you think. If you've seen any of this stuff going on in your town, we want to know about it. You know, crime rates are going up, especially in Democrat-controlled cities, which unfortunately is most major cities. So if you've got valuables in your home, you can't just stuff them in the sock drawer, put them in the back of the closet. There's really sophisticated burglary rings out there, and they know how to get at your valuables. Sometimes it's even an inside job. So what can you do? Well, lock up your stuff with a Liberty Safe. Liberty Safe is what I've got in my home. And right now, they're giving away one of their top-of-the-line gun safes, the Presidential 50, worth almost $10,000. Enter to win online at libertysafe.com/radio. That's libertysafe.com/radio for a customized Fortress Strong Liberty Safe. Make sure you use coupon code radio, by the way, for a 10% discount. You'll also get a $60 value gun vault with your Liberty Safe purchase. So go to libertysafe.com/radio and use that coupon code radio for 10% off.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Okay, I mentioned this off the top of the program. CNN has Trump up 6, 49-43, up 9 with multi-candidate poll. That's Jill Stein, RFK Jr. We'll see how many of those people end up on different ballots. Also, CBS had a poll with Trump up in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, down a small amount in Michigan. Okay. We're now basically to May. Wednesday, we're going to enter into May. The idea, Biden has been spending money like crazy. They said, oh, he was amazing in the State of the Union. He got a bounce. That does not seem to be the case. Trump is presently on trial in New York City. It seems quite clear that New York City case is not moving the needle substantially so far in any kind of direction. Trump up 6, up 9 multi-candidate, up in 2 of the 3 Midwest Big Ten battleground states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Do you buy it, Buck? Do you think that right now, this is the biggest lead Trump has ever had in the CNN poll? He's benefiting, according to the CNN poll, with everybody of the opinion that Bidenomics is a disaster, but also that people are remembering the Trump era more fondly. There's a nostalgia aspect that seems to be benefiting Trump, notwithstanding what happened with COVID. Do you buy it? Do you think Trump's up nationwide right now?
All the numbers, even when you contextualize them, when you cross-reference them, yes. Everything points in the direction of Trump is out ahead. We understand that we're only a few laps into a much longer race here with this election cycle, but we're discussing where we are right now. A lot of things can change. Biden, as the least popular president in 70 years, you might have seen that one over the weekend too. He is less popular at this point in his presidency than Nixon or Carter were. So that's in a new poll that came out over the weekend. So when you're talking about, if you can get a poll to say you're the worst president.
Let me mention that too, by the way. That's Gallup. They've been doing this poll for everybody all the way back, you said, 70 years. So this is not some random, like, we're pulling this out of thin air. They've been doing this poll for 70 years, and no one's ever done worse than Biden.
And I would sit here and just point out, what exactly is the calling card of the Biden administration at this point? What is the Biden administration, other than I'm not Trump, Trump is Hitler, end of democracy? We know all of that stuff, and unfortunately that's worked for them up to this point. But maybe they are starting to run out of steam on that, at least as it pertains to swing state voters, independents, more right-leaning Democrats. People have just started to realize, what has Biden done for us? All the stuff about unemployment, all the things that they try to point to as, I mean, GDP, the GDP numbers that came out were just really bad, by the way, which is a very negative indicator. They have not tamed inflation, which is why rates are still very high, which creates all kinds of challenges in the real estate market and in investing and for all of us, right? It's a drag on the stock market. It's a drag on future economic growth and just overall prosperity. There is nothing that Biden can point to, because Biden is a jackass and always has been. None of this is surprising. Democrats knew that Biden was a joke until he was their only option, and they dusted him off in 2020. And they're like, see, during a pandemic, we can make anybody president. Well, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I think they're finding out the should part of it. So that's on the Biden polling side of it. Also, some new polling out about Trump VP candidates. You are still in the Tim Scott camp. Yes. I am still thinking it will be, when I say in camp, he still thinks that Tim Scott's the likeliest, and the betting markets I know reflect that. I think J.D. Vance is very likely, and actually I'm starting to think more and more Marsha Blackburn could get into the mix here higher. I'm just saying.
There's a big piece on J.D. Vance on the front page of the Sunday New York Times that said that he is a legit VP pick, which is your guy, as you
I've
said,
been saying
at the
it
favorite
all along.
List.
Makes a lot of sense. He appeals to those, Rust Belt and Midwest voters, and Trump likes him, and Trump wants somebody that he likes to hang out with, as I understand it, likes to be around. Doesn't want somebody who feels like he's the dean in the high school, which my understanding is how even before things went awry with Pence, there was a little bit of that feeling going on. One person, though, who's had a tough VP go is Kristi Noem. Now, I actually did not mean to start out the show with, for those who watch on ClayandBuck.com, VIPs, you can see, with Ginger on my lap. She was just being a little bit of a, she can be a little bit of a princess sometimes. I love dogs. I always have. I've loved them since I was a little kid. I find them incredibly important and amazing. And one of my favorite things in life is dogs, to be honest with you. So I don't want to, I'm going to let you go first. Just so everyone knows the story, Kristi Noem wrote a book. The book is out. And in the book, she describes taking a dog hunting. I forget the breed of the dog. She says she is frustrated with the dog because he wasn't doing a good job, and that she, quote, hated the dog. And then when she brought it home, it attacked a neighbor's chickens. Now, this is a bird dog, which is meant to go after birds. So it attacked the neighbor's chickens. And she got fed up, and she took it to a gravel pit, and she shot her 18-month-old dog and killed it. Clay, you go first, because we're not allowed to curse on radio, right? So you go ahead.
I just look at it as if you really want to be a president or vice president, and you write in your autobiography in sort of a braggadocious way about how tough you are that you shot a dog, I don't think at all it makes you more likable. And we were just referencing
the political misjudgment aside, alone yes, should be disqualifying.
That's where I was going to focus to start with, is just, how do you think that this improves your likability, which we've talked a lot about with Trump's VP? You mentioned Tim Scott is the favorite. Right now on Poly Market, Tim Scott is the favorite. I think he's going to be the pick. Elise Stefanik is in second place. J.D. Vance tied in third with Nikki Haley, interestingly enough. We haven't heard a lot about Nikki Haley recently. Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, DeSantis. At 4%, way down the list, but we need to talk about DeSantis and Trump meeting in Miami to kind of, for several hours is the report at some point during the show. Kristi Noem was the favorite for a long time. She now is like 8 or 9 on the list, and she basically, I think, has eliminated herself from vice presidential contention with this story. I'm talking purely politics. Now, you've got the dog on your lap right now. You are a mega dog lover, as a huge percentage of this audience is. When you hear that she shot a dog, is it just an in for you? Like, you wouldn't vote for her for anything at this point when she's bragging about having done this? Disqualifying.
Absolutely disqualifying, and for me, borderline psychopathic. Absolutely unacceptable. And I mean, I understand people say, well, like, if, you know, what about pigs on a farm? You eat them and everything else. You develop a bond and you are responsible for a dog and it has a role in your life. And if the dog is, I have a good friend who's loves to go duck hunting and pheasant hunting all the time. He had the same problem. This happened a couple of years ago. Same problem. The dog just won't hunt, right? I mean, that's a phrase people use. That dog won't hunt. He had a dog that wouldn't hunt and was a behavior problem. It can happen. You know what he did with the dog? He didn't take it to a gravel pit and execute it. He found a single mom who he knew was a friend of his, whose little boy had always wanted a dog, and gave him the dog, and they loved the dog, and now it's their family dog. What, like, to go shoot the dog because you're angry? I don't know. Am I missing something? If I saw somebody that said, oh, yeah, you know, sorry I'm late to dinner, but like my Labrador was acting up, so I took him out back with a 45 and shot him in the head, I'd be like, I don't want to be anywhere near you. You're a psycho. Am I missing something? Maybe I'm missing something. And the notion that she's doubling down on this, I mean, you know, some people might have noticed character flaws in this individual a long time ago, but I think now more people are noticing.
I'll read what she posted. I went and I just read the comments. And by the way, we'll open up phone lines.
Does Trump really want to have a puppy killer as his VP? That's what they're going to say. And you can say on the right, oh, like rural America is going to say that this is different because, first of all, I don't think that's true at all. No, but that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
She's saying, I'm talking about what she's saying.
Yeah,
I saw her tweets. Really difficult decisions are made at a farm. I know farmers. I know hunters. I have never met a person who executed a 14-month-old dog because it wasn't good enough at hunting and went and killed a chicken. Chickens are for food. It wasn't a danger to people. And even if, anyway, I don't know. I'm sitting here. Let me know if I'm wrong. Someone let me know. 800-282-2882. It was a 14-month-old wire-haired pointer. And not only did she write about this in her book, which was edited and she thought about it, wasn't like a radio interview. Now she's saying, I think that this shows basically what kind of tough decision making I do. Really? You know, you go like light cats on fire too to show everybody what a strong stomach you have. Like, I think it's completely disgraceful and outrageous. And I tried to preface this before. Maybe I'm a little too fired up about it because I love dogs. Okay, fine. But I don't think I'm alone.
The comments, here's what she tweeted. I can understand why some people are upset about a 20-year-old story of Cricket, one of the working dogs at our ranch, in my upcoming book. What I learned from my years as a public service, the fact is South Dakota law states dogs who attack and kill livestock can be put down. Given that Cricket had shown aggressive behavior toward people by biting them, I decided what I did. And then she says, she doesn't pass the buck to anybody else, basically. So I just, when you write an autobiography, and I've written 4 books, you're writing a book right now, there are lots of things that you put in. There are lots of things that you take out. If I'm a presidential candidate or a vice presidential candidate, I don't want my story to be, I shot Old Yeller. You know, like the saddest book I've ever read in my life is Where the Red Fern Grows, which ends with dogs dying.
I would still cry if I watched Old Yeller today. And I understand that there's also this kind of trad right, you know, traditional right argument of like, it's just animals. They're not people. And people are trying to make this about like our respect or lack of respect for life with abortion. I'm as pro-life as anybody. That has nothing to do with don't go murder dogs. Like what people are conflating issues and they're doing all kinds of weird things out there.
Well, even if you did it, I don't think it would be something where you would say, I mean, it seems to me that she is saying this story is important because it says something about me. It says that I'm tough and I'm willing to make hard choices. Again, to your point, to me, this is, they say we just had the NFL draft, and I know a lot of guys in the NFL, and we talk about, for instance, drug testing, and they say, you know, drug testing for us is just a question of intelligence. you can smoke weed back in the day. Are you smart enough to pass a drug test?
Shooting a dog?
No, I mean, to me, it's an intelligence test for a politician. If you can't
that
connect,
put it in her book, you're still,
that you
so
would
you're
put it in
on,
your,
on the political malpractice part of this. Well, that's obvious.
Totally
this
on
is a
the
huge
politics
self-inflicted
side.
Wound. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the failing a drug test is you're not smart enough to make the right choice. And I don't want to trust you. If you put this in your book, to me, it's a you can't be trusted on the national stage to know what moves people.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
That's I mean, that's to the, me like the
so
why this is
the
a big
political
story.
Malpractice. I mean, to me,
I'm not even trying to get into the morality of shooting dogs. Like it's a but the fact that you would see this and think this is a story which tells people why I should be trusted to make hard decisions in politics. I think most people say, well, yeah. Don't shoot a dog. Find another solution.
Clay, for the people out there who have dogs, I mean, it was a 14. First of all, it's a baby. It's like a little, you know. I just want to know, like,
still
if,
a puppy.
If it's a puppy, okay. It's equivalent of a dog baby. So if I had a golden retriever puppy that was, you know, 6 or 7 months old, and it, you know, just peed in the house too many times, do I take my 12 gauge out back, and does that make me a normal person? Would anyone want to hang out with me if I did that? If I
and
came on
there,
even
if
you, know,
you did it, would it be
I
the
would
opening
drown
argument
trying
you
to
would...
save Ginger if we drove off a cliff right. into a river? Okay. I do not understand how anybody
my thing is just even if you did it, would it be your opening argument on why you should be trusted to lead America? Like I'm willing
need,
to kill a dog.
That, we
like,
need to let's open yeah. the lines on this because I'm on it. I don't know how anyone can see this any other way, but I know you got the read here.
Yeah, sorry, I'm still fine. Like it's to me it's political malpractice. Leaving aside the fact that it is obviously strikes so many different people as awful. It feels like political malpractice to me. Like, how do you screw this up? I don't understand. But I can also tell you, you want to be able to preserve your family memories. I was out over the weekend, actually, and I was talking with somebody, at an event, and she was talking about how she had so many old memories of herself playing basketball back in the day. She was a college basketball player. She said, you know what? A bunch of those games are now on VHS tapes. And she said, you know, I listened to your show and I heard you talking about Legacy Box and it makes so much sense what they do. I want to preserve all my old games. How many of you out there have seen this Beckham documentary that recently came out on Netflix? Really good. His dad said he had 1,400 tapes of his son playing soccer growing up. 1,400. That's a crazy number. But all of it's disintegrating. That's why you can use Legacy Box. They got a great offer right now to be able to hook you up, preserve your family memories forever. And not this weekend, but next weekend is Mother's Day. Do you know what you're going to give your mom? Do you know what you're going to take care of with her? Now is the perfect time to get hooked up with Legacy Box. Go to legacybox.com/clay. Best Mother's Day sale ever. Legacybox.com/clay. 60% off.
Sometimes all you can do is laugh, and they do a lot of it with the Sunday Hang. Join Clay and Buck as they laugh it up in the Clay and Buck podcast feed on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD. 995 G O L D. We're so fortunate to have a military that's 100% volunteer. Men and women who voluntarily put their lives on the line for us. But when their service ends, transition to civilian life can be difficult, especially in this economy. Access to housing, employment, and even their earned VA benefits can be difficult.
That's why Pure Talk, my wireless company, proudly supports America's Warrior Partnership and their mission to prevent veteran suicide by providing fundamental needs to our warriors. You can help this great cause simply by switching your cell phone service to Pure Talk before the end of the month.
Upgrade your cell phone service to America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month.
Go to puretalk.com/buck to make the switch. That's puretalk.com/buck for superior cell phone service that's half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, and to help a vet in need.
Let me tell you about an American company whose entire mission is built around supporting this same community of people, which I'm a part of and proud to be so. GovX.com is an online shopping platform that people like me with service-related backgrounds have been using for years. There are over 8.5 million GovX members benefiting from the site today. As a GovX member, I get access to unbeatable discounts from thousands of trusted brands, sports and entertainment tickets, travel deals, the list goes on. If you're a member, GovX.com is the first place to check when you're shopping online. If you've served our country in the military, law enforcement, firefighting, emergency medical services, or other government agency roles, go to GovX.com. That's GovX.com and create your free membership today. Use my name, Buck, as your promo code in the shopping cart, and you'll get an extra $15 off your first order. GovX, savings for those who serve.
Welcome back in. I think every line right now is lit. We're trying to get some of their calls lined up and also getting a lot of emails in. We're talking VP sweepstakes on the happy side of things, normal sane side of things. Tim Scott, number one in the current betting markets. Elise Stefanik, very high in the mix there as well. J.D. Vance looking strong. I think an outside chance maybe for Marsha Blackburn. But South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has plummeted. And I assume that is in response to, we can all assume that is in response to the story we were talking about having to do with shooting a puppy. Even as I say it out loud, shooting a puppy is, yeah, it's not a good look. Certainly not a good look for your autobiography as like, look at how tough I am. I don't know. I can't think of worse political malpractice at that level in a book than that. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Vote for me. I killed Old Yeller and I'll do it again. Does not
Wait,
seem
old
does
Yeller
not
was no, hold on. Old Yeller was old and had rabies.
I know.
This was a 14-month old puppy.
I look at this stuff. Cruella De Vil had it right. I don't understand.
Dude, it's madness. Just,
you know, Mitt Romney got roasted for driving with the dog on the roof of the car. And I know in the movie Vacation, like this is such, it feels like intentional malpractice. I don't understand it.